They came to hear something from the Lord today. Amen. I'm going to build a little foundation before my little drawing here I have here about the position and tradition being in a pit. And I think so many times that we get caught in the pit of tradition. So many things we do as the body of Christ, we do it from tradition, not out of God's word. It's because this is the way it was done. And we're just going to travel around a little bit. So bear with me until we get to our text. I'm just going to build a little foundation. Okay? You with me? And Job chapter 33, 14, if you have a pencil, you can write that down. The word of God said, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword." And the pit I want to talk about today is the position and tradition, the pit of tradition. Matter of fact, because of tradition, Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit. Because of tradition of the old law and what was established, and he got there. And this morning, the Word of God says in Galatians 6, 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall we also reap." When I look at that, the Lord reminded me in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, where the word of God says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you." This speaks of correction, contrition, and conversion. In other words, God wants to correct the error of our way for us to repent and turn back to him, and our souls are converted. That's basically what Hosea 10, 12 says. But for our message today, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 15. So if everybody's there, Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1. It says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I was reading this story. It was really interesting. It was about a Tsar in Russia at the Kremlin. And in the Kremlin, in one of the quarters of the yard, there was a guard that was posted out in the yard. And he couldn't figure out why the guard was there. It was for no apparent reason. And he went out and he asked the guard, he said, "Well, why are you here?" He says, "I don't know. I've been ordered to be here." So the Tsar started the research, and he found that a couple hundred years earlier, Catherine the Great had a rose bush in the corner of the garden. And she planted a sentry there, or guard, to protect that rose. But that rose wasn't there any longer. But because of tradition, over years and years, there was a guard that was protecting that rose that wasn't there. And that's what happens in the body of Christ so many times, that we get so caught up in traditions that we do things because of traditions. We all line up in a row. We sit in a row. We do this or we do that because we've got so used to doing what we've learned to do. We were raised that this is the way you do it. But it's not biblical. It's just the way man had put it. I believe God can show up in the house any way he sees fit to show up. I believe it's a God that wants to take us outside of the box of tradition that we're in and take us to a new height. He wants to do something different. So don't be shocked or upset when things don't look like you thought they should look. Because I believe God's getting ready to upset the apple cart. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many are tired of tradition? Come on now. God wants to do something new in our hearts and lives. And if we're going to reach this lost and dying world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we got to come out of the old stuff. We got to get out of that pit. We're stuck. We're stuck in the mire. You know, he says, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Wait a minute. We'll get so going in a minute. We get so caught up. So for the message today, I want to focus your attention to verse number 3 and just the question that God asked us through his son, Jesus Christ. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? By your tradition. The title of this morning's message is Positioned in Tradition. We're going to look at 3 things today: false professors, false perception, and false profession. False professors, false perception, and false profession. Can we lift the word today and make a declaration in the house today? Repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're grateful, Father, that your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharp. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do today. So, Lord, I pray before I ever start preaching this word, Father God, that you speak through this vessel today. Father, may they hear you and not me. May they hear your heart and not my heart. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Spirit has something to say today. Traditions. It's kind of amazing. You know, it's right up the street, right in the corner. They built a restaurant that serves some really good chicken. It's called Traditions, and it's become a Sunday tradition for many people. And if somewhere along the line, in case everybody, if you don't know me, somewhere along the line, there's corny coming. I'm a corny preacher, too. Hallelujah. You like corn with your chicken? So we're praying that God gives us some meat, and along with this is going to come some corn, all right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just waiting. Praise God. So we're going to look first at the traditions of men. So turn with me in your word to Colossians chapter 2. Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, and he says in Colossians 2, verse number 6, He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then he says in verse number 8, beware. Now, when I think of beware, now I just use this little illustration. Before Christ, I was a businessman. I owned a real estate company. I had South Carolina real estate license in Virginia. And when we sold a contract or sold a piece of property, there was a right of rescission that was a 3-day right of rescission. And that was part of caveat emptor. Latin means buyer beware. In other words, what I'm saying is caveat emptor, buyer beware of what you hear. What you buy and receive as truth, beware. Beware, caveat emptor. And the word of God says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That you're complete in him. He says that we're to beware of the traditions of men. Amen? Because the traditions of men have positioned us and get us caught up in a pit. Now, I want to take you somewhere just for a moment. Turn with me to Isaiah 28. I remember when I was a sailor, I joined the Navy to see the world. And when I was a sailor, I was one of the drunken sailors. I was drunk all the time. And one of the things, and I'm not celebrating that, I'm just being transparent. And one of the things that I would love to do when I was under the influence of alcohol is talk about the Bible. I want to talk about religion. I want to start going down them roads in those areas. Amen. In other words, I became this man that knew it all once I was under the influence. And I just want to talk to you about what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 28, verse number 7. He says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and so that there is no place clean. Whom shall I teach? Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. In other words, we're not looking at the precepts of men. We're looking at the precepts of God. Traditions are precepts of man. In other words, we can't take God's word out of context and make it fit whatever we want to do in our lives. In other words, God's going to speak to us about the truth. He says that we shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make us free. The devil or the adversary is constantly sowing lies. Lies, not the truth. You know, I remember when, if you go to court, you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And God wants you to know the truth, because you can never make a logical or a wise decision off of half-truths. You know, I kind of like the old show Dragnet, where he said, just the facts. And God gives us the facts in his word. He didn't say these things. That goes back a while, doesn't it? He didn't say these things just for the sake of us hearing them. He says these things so not only we can be hearers, but that we can apply the word to our heart and life. Because if it never got application, it never accomplished a thing in our life. Amen? You know, and just when I was a drunk and I was in the bar and I was belligerent and I was talking about things of God, I wasn't living anything for the Lord. I had a good, I could debate the Bible. I was raised in the church. I was raised as a little kid. I went to church every day. The door was open. Whether I wanted to or not, it didn't make any difference. My daddy never asked me, son, what do you want to do? All right. And I think so. Here we go. I think today that our parents were really messing up when we started asking our children what they want to do. You know, we're parents and you're raised up. You have wisdom and knowledge. You lead your children the right way. You don't ask them what they want to do. You know, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And when they move out, that's between them and God. But if they're in my house, they're following my way, or they're following the ways of God. That's just the choice they have. They don't really have a choice yet. Allie, you get an opportunity now. You get to go off to school. You get the whole brand new picture. You know, there's a brand new season in your life. And God wants you to take all those things that have been imparted in you and the word that's imparted in you and walk with that. Amen. And don't let the adversary steal that everything that's been stolen in your life, because that's what he comes to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came to give us life. Amen. He loves us. He has a plan in our life, and he ain't going to change his mind. Amen. I know my friend Allie stood up here and gave her heart to Jesus. I know she belongs to the Lord. Amen. And I encourage you, you know, James is still staying around here, but Allie's taken off to West Virginia. And I encourage you as a body of Christ that you remember her, that you remember her in prayer, because guess what? She's going to be faced with all kinds of stuff. You been to school? All kinds of stuff. Amen. Tradition. Where am I at? I'm in the pit. Get out of the pit, Carl. Don't take the word out of context. Titus 1. Paul writes in Titus 1:14. He encourages his student, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. So what the Lord winds us first is he tells us to beware of what? To beware of the traditions of man. Amen? Are you with me? Everybody with me? You hear me? Say amen. Amen. See, here's the thing. When I'm speaking, and if I don't get affirmation from you, I figure that you haven't got it yet, so I got to keep on going. Praise God. That's a sign I can move on. Amen? So we're going to look first at false professors. False professors. Not every teacher is a good teacher. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3. We're talking about false professors. The Bible says, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof come of envying, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputers of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? In other words, the Lord says to you and I, if we can't be content where we're at, he can't give us more. Amen? He ain't going to give you something that's going to destroy you, that's going to ruin you. But what he is saying here to us, if any man teach otherwise, we have to teach the truth of God's word. No, but not everybody wants to hear the truth. I could stand up here and tell you everything you want to hear, and we could be jumping up and down, rejoicing, and having a good time. But if we rejoiced and jumped up and down and had a good time, and you end up going to hell, what was the benefit of it? God wants you to know the truth. His word. This ain't Pastor Carl's word. It's God's word. Amen? Amen? And he ain't going to change it. And since he's not going to change it, he doesn't want us to change it either. Amen? You know, there's so many people that are trying to say they got a new revelation. Well, you can't have a new revelation unless you had an old revelation and you understood the truth. Because if you're not building on the truth, you're building on error. And if you're building on error, someday it's going to fall. It's just like if you don't have a foundation in your house and you try to build on a broken foundation, it may look good for a little bit, but sooner or later when trials and tests and storms come, that foundation is going to fall and that house is going to fall. And great is the fall thereof. So what God is saying to you and I is he wants us to know the real truth so that we can take that truth and recognize what's going on in this world. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And in this world that we live in, iniquity is abounding and abounding and abounding and abounding. And there's so many that wax cold. The church is cold. The church itself is cold. God wants us to get back on fire for him. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I'll spill you out of my mouth. In other words, he's so tired of this apathetic state of living that we're in. Christ said, man, as the church has to rise, there has to be something that's different about the house of God. And if it isn't different here, why would anybody want to come? If you're not allowing God to transform your life, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm not doing the same thing I used to do. I'm not doing those things any longer because my mind isn't the same. I've got the mind of Christ. And if I have the mind of Christ, I'll be doing the things that are Christ-mindedness, that are like Christ. Amen? You know, if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ lives in us, amen, everywhere we go, God comes into the room. Amen? You know, the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, but there were false prophets also among them, among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom a way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. God says there is no temptation that's come upon you but is common to man, and God has made a way to escape for each and every one of us. Amen? There's always an avenue to escape. I don't have to give in to the adversary. I don't have to give in to his ploys. I don't have to give in to his things. I've got someone that's in me. I've got Christ in me. Amen? I'm going to make a decision. Every day I wake up and I make a decision to serve the Lord. Every morning I get up, I make that decision. Every morning I get up, I make a decision to love my wife. Every day. It's a daily thing. It's not something that just automatically happens. I make a choice every day to love her. And she's easy to love, but I make a choice to love her. I make a choice to love people. I make a choice. I choose every day to do that. It isn't this supernatural thing that comes on over me and makes me do it. You know, I'm going to do it when God makes me. Well, God ain't going to make you do nothing. God ain't going to make none of us do nothing. He puts it before us. Life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life that you may live. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we have false professors, and which brings what? A false perception. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 1, the Word of God says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch all things, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, we can. There's so many that just want to teach or perceive all the good, but they, you know, everything is good about God. The things that we think are good are a lie. Our flesh and our minds have believed the lie of the adversary, and we're feeding our flesh with things that aren't good. And the adversary has made those things seem like they're really good to us. Oh, we can't have any fun in church. Look, we can't do this. Well, you know what? I'm not vomiting outside the bar anymore. Too bad. It wasn't really that much fun. I was belligerent, was I? I was a mouthy drunk. She couldn't stand me. Amen. You know, I thought that getting high was the answer. It wasn't the answer. Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the answer. Everything I was looking for my entire life, I found in Jesus. I found it in Him. He is the giver of all good things. Every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, and who there is no shadow or turning with Him. He gives good things to you and I. Amen. Amen. The world makes things look like they're so much fun. And it's really not that much fun. You know what? I've shared before. Man, I get high now. Don't get me wrong. I get high on Jesus. I get drunk in the Spirit. I've been drunk in the Spirit. Spirit of laughter come on me. Amen. And I don't have a hangover. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a giver of good things. Hallelujah. This world can't compare to what God has for us. See, that's the deception the adversary makes it look like everything, makes us feel like we need all these things. You know, I thought, and I've shared, I thought that riches of this world is what made you happy. I was raised with a family and with 9 children. My daddy worked 2 jobs. My mom had to stay home with the kids. We didn't have things. We got hand-me-downs for everything. Okay? We got hand-me-downs. And I thought that even though we had love in our house and we had all those things in our house, I always thought, man, if I had all those toys and all those bells and all those whistles, man, we were just going to have this super-duper life. So I went out to get all those things, and I had all the bells and I had all the whistles and I had all that stuff, but I never had joy. Because where's our joy comes from the Lord. None of the things made me happy. You know, when I got my Jaguars, they made me happy for a moment. But they didn't last. Or a Porsche, it made me happy. Or a resort. Or whatever it was. I thought that those things would make me happy. But they're not. They're just things. Things ain't going to make you happy. He's the one that makes you happy. Amen. And when you start seeking Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And it's not necessarily Porsches and Jaguars and Mercedes-Benz and castles and mansions and all these things. God will never allow more on you than can you bear. It's better to be poor and to be happy than to be rich and miserable. Amen. You know, I know a lot of people that are rich or miserable. You know, their whole life is about trying to keep the stuff. I have 5 acres of grass to mow. I said, well, why does somebody need 5 acres of grass? So I could say I have a big yard? But you got to take care of it. You know, the more we, and I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless you and want you to have things. The Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. So as our souls prosper, God blesses us. Amen. It's okay. It's okay. In other words, find contentment where you're at. You know, don't have that false perception where it says in 2 Timothy 3, that this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers and accusers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. You know, in other words, what he is saying, there's false teachers, there's false prophets out there. And when you're listening to false teaching, you'll have a false perception. You know, the Bible says in Romans 14:7, it says, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we have righteousness and peace and some joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Ghost joy. Amen. Can everybody just put a smile on their face and just know for certain that God loves you today? Just give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hey, let me say this to everyone in the room. I'm not picking on anyone. Our sanctification is a process. Hello? Our sanctification, we're all going from glory to glory to glory. I'm a work in progress. I haven't arrived yet. Is something in my head? Does it say arrived there yet? Okay, I haven't got there yet. None of us have arrived yet. We're all on a journey, and we're on a journey together. And that's why we're to encourage one another. That's why we're to come along beside one another. That's why we have to be like Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. In other words, we're together as a family. We're doing this together. But we want to come outside of these walls, and we want to be the church that's alive. I want to see a church that's alive. Amen? Amen. And we talked about the other night in Bible study, and we said it before. One time I'm going to have something for everyone that comes in late. I'm going to set it up in the service. We're all going to hide. We're going to have clothes all around the sanctuary. They're going to come in and say, oh, missed the rapture. I don't think our clothes are going with us. Right? Amen. We don't want to miss. We want to live every day like it's the last day. We want to live every day like Jesus is going to return in a moment. He says, I'm going to come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? Blink your eyes. That's how fast he's coming. Now blink your eyes and say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Can you do that? Doesn't work that way. Amen. I'm telling you what, according to the prophetic word of God that's written in the book, he can return at any moment. Everything's been done in the word. He can come at any moment. You know, my daddy used to say he's coming soon. I'm telling you, he's coming soon. He's one day closer than he was yesterday. Hallelujah. So this false professors will bring false perceptions, which lead to a false perception. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 33, and I'll close this down. In Ezekiel 33, verse 31, it says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people." And Ezekiel 33, 31, "They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that have a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them." In other words, God sent his word in the house to accomplish something in every heart and every life that's gathered in the room. Are you listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to us today? Are you listening to what God is saying? Are you following and closing the traditions of men? Have you been taught by some false teachers? Do you have a false perception that's led to a false profession? Joshua said it simply as this: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a choice. He says for you and I, it's a choice. So in closing, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17, says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Bow your heads and let us pray.